Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
In John chapter 15, verses 1 through 10, is a very familiar passage on the true vine. We're going to study this vine, Jesus Christ, the true vine, today, because we need to learn some things about Him, and we need to learn some things about ourselves that will help us understand why He used the type, the true vine, to teach us about bearing fruit, Let's read the passage, John chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. That was John chapter 15, verses 1 through 10. And we're going to talk about this vine today, and then we're going to talk about the branches, and we're going to talk about this bearing fruit. That way we can understand why it is that Jesus Christ used this type, this metaphor, to teach us. Now, first of all, you want to realize something. The vine is nothing. That's right. The vine is nothing. Jesus Christ said, I am the true vine. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 15 just for a moment. Don't lose your place in John 15, but in Ezekiel chapter 15, we'll learn something about the vine. In Ezekiel chapter 15, verses 1 through 5, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, what is the vine tree more than any tree or than a branch which is among the trees of the forest? So he's comparing the vine tree to other trees and the branch of the vine to the branches of the trees of the forest. And then he answers, Shall wood be taken thereof to do any work? Or will men take a pin of it to hang any vessel thereon? Behold, it is cast into the fire for fuel. The fire devoureth both the ends of it, and the midst of it is burned. Is it meat for any work? Behold, when it was whole, it was meat for no work. How much less shall it be meat, yet for any work, when the fire hath devoured it, and it is burned? You know, isn't it strange that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, would compare himself to a vine? Well, not really. Because in John chapter 5 and verse 30, Jesus Christ said of himself, I can of mine own self do nothing. Do you realize that he took this great place of humility in the relationship that he had with his Father for the work that he came to do on this earth by saying, I'm nothing. I can of mine own self do nothing. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 7, the Bible says that Jesus Christ made himself of no reputation. Speaking prophetically through David in Psalm 22, verse 6, he said, I am a worm and no man. And what he's talking about there is the way that when he became our sin, when he became sin for us, he literally changed and was no longer in that relationship that he had with his Father. And what's going on there? No longer a man. He became a worm. Well, he said, as Moses lifted up the serpent that was in the wilderness, even so should the Son of Man be lifted up. He became like the devil. He became that worm or that snake. Isaiah chapter 53 verse 2 says he had no form nor comeliness. There was no beauty in him that we should desire him. And as Ezekiel 15 said, this vine is good for nothing but just to be fuel for the fire, just thrown into the fire following the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. He went to hell. Acts chapter 2 verse 27, Peter is preaching and he's quoting Psalm 16 verse 10. Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. That's where he went when he went into the lower parts of the earth. And so in this metaphor, Jesus Christ is showing us that he is nothing. When it comes to bearing fruit, he's nothing. Because the vine is nothing. Well, all right then. If the vine is nothing, then the branches are nothing. I mean, even more so, the branches are nothing. And that's why Jesus Christ said in John chapter 15, in verse 5, for without me you can do nothing. Now, you got to be constantly reminded, and I have to be constantly reminded in this work of the Lord, in this concept of bearing fruit for God, that we are nothing. Paul knew that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, in verse 11, after Paul has talked about the grace of God strengthening him in his weakness, he said, I am become a fool in glorying. You've compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles. Now watch it. He's saying it because he's fussing with them, but listen. In nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles. Watch it. Though I be nothing. Paul knew. I am nothing, he said. Nothing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16, when he's talking about the ministry, and particularly his ministry, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and verse 16, he said, though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. What did he say? I have nothing to glory of. Nothing. You see, in this work, if you will, of bearing fruit for the Lord, we are nothing. We need to remember that we are nothing. In the metaphor, the vine is nothing. Therefore, the branches are nothing. And Paul said about us in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 3, this is what he said in Galatians 6, 3, listen, if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. We need to be careful to remember that we are nothing. Otherwise, we're deceived. And you know something? When Christians become fruitful in their Christian life, and there's a lot of fruit besides just leading souls to Jesus Christ. There's the fruit of righteousness. There's the fruit of the Word of God. There's the fruit of the Spirit. And there's also that fruit of souls that are one to the Lord Jesus Christ. In any of those things, your knowledge of the Bible, your holiness and righteousness as you compare yourself to other people, your love and other fruit that you see, evidence of the Spirit of God in your life, or souls that have been led to the Lord Jesus Christ to you, or to Him, whenever in your mind you are something as a result of what God has done in your life, you are deceived. The vine is nothing and the branches are nothing. The Father is the only one who is something when it comes to this metaphor. In John chapter 15, verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. There's the key. None of this is going to work without the Father. The fruit is for Him. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. It's for Him. He is the one. The Father is the one who cares for the vine. He's the husbandman. He's the one who takes away branches. in verse 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. He's the one who takes away the branches. He is the one who purges the vine. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. He is the one who is glorified by the fruit of the vine. And he says, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. Listen, if it weren't for the Father, there would be no vine, there would be no branches. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you understand? This whole thing about fruit in this metaphor of John chapter 15 is all about the Father. And it's all about that fruit that he can bring forth through a vine, which is nothing in the Bible, and the branches, who are nothing, must be nothing, would there be any fruit. Now, the Father desires fruit. That's what this whole thing about. The Father desires fruit. In verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And in verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. Jesus is God's vine, and we are God's branches. The sole purpose of the vine and the branches is to bear fruit. That's the sole purpose. So in the capacity of branches, we serve no other purpose. That's right. We're not here to build a bigger ministry. We're not here to shine as some great example of what a Christian should be. We're not here to promote ourselves, our families, our children, our work ethic, our methodology, our programs, any of that stuff. We're here for one purpose and one purpose only, and that is so that the Father, who initiated this whole thing, can get the fruit that he wants out of that vine. That's what the Father wants. And listen, the fruit on these branches, that is in your life and in mine, is not our fruit, it's his. If it were our fruit, if it were the fruit of our flesh, if it were the fruit of our efforts, that fruit would be evil compared to his fruit. The Lord Jesus Christ was telling his disciples in Matthew chapter 7, and I realize I'm lifting something out of its context, but it's an illustration, okay? In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 16, you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Listen, if it is in me, that is in my flesh. Paul said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. So if it's something that comes forth from my effort, it's going to be bad fruit. Do you understand how we're making the application here? It's a spiritual application. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. So if there's good fruit that is born in our branches, because we are on a good root, we're in a good vine. We're in the true vine. Because a corrupt tree will bring forth evil fruit. You see how it goes down, how it goes? And so it, when you, and I've watched this, you've seen it, you may have done it, I've done it. We somehow or another get the idea, man, it's really great, look at these people that I led to Jesus Christ, or whatever the case may be. Listen, you are corrupting that fruit. That thing is being produced for your effort. Listen, these big-time campaign types, crusade-type soul-winning efforts over the years, and there have been many. Those guys that were very successful in seeing many people come down to the aisle, they said late in their lives, I will be surprised if half the people who came down in the meetings are really saved. That's right. Or these big churches, and the men would say, I'd be surprised if half the people in here are really saved. You know what the problem is? There was so much methodology of the man until a lot of that fruit, now it's not limited to souls, but in the capacity or in the context of souls, the fruit was his, and that fruit is corrupt. It has to be from the Lord. His fruit produced on his vine is good fruit. Now, we don't make the fruit. Get that from this passage in John chapter 15. We don't make the fruit. We don't produce the fruit. We simply bear the fruit. Every branch that beareth fruit. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So that whole thing is about just simply being yielded, connected to the vine and yielded to God, so that the vine and the husbandman can do all the work that needs to be done. We, listen, as branches, we just yield to their work. We just yield to their work. So how is then the fruit produced? How is it that all this works? What's going on here then? Well, let's just review real quickly. And remember, the vine is nothing by all the cross-references that you see in the Bible. The branches certainly are nothing. The only one in this metaphor who's something is the husbandman. That's the Father, and he's the one that desires the fruit. So how is the fruit going to be born? Well, we bear fruit through several things that you find in the passage. Number one, we bear fruit through purging. John chapter 15, verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. You know what this is? This is the husbandman's process of pruning. So in our lives, there are things that are inhibiting the work of the root through the vine out on the branch to bear that fruit. There are just things in our lives that have to go. And so what the Lord does is he comes in and he cuts that stuff away from our lives, because it's hindering the ability of our branch to bear the fruit that he wants born on that branch. And so he's going to whack on it. And that's not fun. It's not necessarily chastisement, although it may involve that. It may be something that's good, but it doesn't feel good to us. And nobody likes the pain of pruning or purging, and yet that's what needs to happen. There are things in our lives that are crowding out the ability on our branch for fruit to be born. God said that stuff's got to go. Purging. We bear fruit also through being clean. John chapter 15, verse 3. Now are you clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. So we bear fruit through being clean. Well, what is a clean vine? You know, there's actually a phrase in the work of vineyards, and the word is clean. A clean vine, listen, is a vine that is not carrying any disabling diseases. It's free from viruses and fungal and bacterial pathogens. So in your life and in my life, there are things that are disabling diseases. There are types of viruses and fungal and bacterial pathogens in our lives. And so God, in order for us to bear fruit, has to clean us up. And the thing that he uses to clean us up is the Word of God. So people say, well, why should I read the Bible daily? Because, you know, sometimes they say I don't understand it, or sometimes I feel like I'm just going through the motion. Hey, that book daily in you cleanses those things in you that inhibit the ability of your branch to bear fruit. You have seen Christians that are backslidden that are still connected to other Christians who aren't. That backslidden Christian is like a disease, he's like a fungus, and will affect and start bringing down the other Christians. You watch it. If there's a girl in the teen class and she starts going astray, she's going to take another girl down with her. If there's a young man in the teen class and he's not doing well, he's going to take another young man down with him. Same in the churches when there's a split that begins. What happens? That thing moves like a cancer, and there are several families, not usually just one, that get affected by it. And the vine, the branches, get diseased. Well, what cleans you up is the Word of God. That's why the preaching needs to do what it does, and the teaching needs to do what it does, and the Bible reading needs to do what it does. It gets that sin out of there. Bob Jones Sr. said about this word will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this word. That is so true. All right, we bear fruit through purging, through being clean, through abiding. John chapter 15, verses 4 through 7. Jesus said, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, He's cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they're burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Did you see how many times he said, abide, 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 abideth, abide, abide, abide? That's six times he said abide, and one time he said abideth. And then in verse 10, abide in my love, and abide in his love. Two more times. That's a lot of abiding. That's a lot of abiding. There's a real stress on that. Well, what does it mean to abide? It's a word that has a number of definitions. In this context, to abide means to remain constant in some relationship. So to abide in Jesus is to remain in constant, unbroken fellowship with him. Now, we're not going to get into the doctrinal applications, you know, about saved and lost and all that other kind of stuff. You understand the context of what we're preaching today, so let's stick with that context. Don't let your mind stray off of this and then lose what God is showing us in this passage about bearing fruit. Picture the vine, picture the branches, okay? Just get that in your mind, or look at a picture. You see there's the vine coming up, and then there's the branches coming off of the vine. Just picture that in your mind. All right, watch it. The branches must remain connected to the vine to bear fruit. Well, you say that's obvious. Of course. If a branch is disconnected from the vine, it is impossible for that branch to bear fruit. That's why Jesus said, without me, ye can do nothing. As soon as we think we're something, we cut off the supply of the vine to our branch. We are totally and absolutely dependent upon the vine to bear fruit. Now get this picture. We are simply a branch. We're not the root. Okay, the root is on the vine. We're coming off the vine. And we have no capacity within us, okay, as of ourselves to make the fruit. But the vine can, through us, produce fruit that is then born on our branch. We must stay in constant, unbroken fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, every day, throughout the day, it is so easy. Earlier today, I was studying, and then I said, okay, I'm going to take a break for lunch. And I took a break for lunch, sat down with a fellow and visited with him, and I thought to myself afterwards, you know, how little consciousness as I had of my abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ during that conversation to see if there were any opportunities for the Lord to speak through me to that individual about something that he wanted that individual to know. I say that to just say this. I preach it. I live it. I've been used by God in those capacities. So have you. But boy, on that occasion, thinking about this very thing that we're talking about right now, just where was it? And it just means we've got to stay in that constant, unbroken fellowship with the Lord at all times. And then bearing fruit also is done through obeying. In John chapter 15, verse 7 and verses 9 and 10, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Listen, it is impossible to bear fruit without the words of God abiding in us. And it is impossible to bear fruit without obeying those words. The idea that you could go out without spending any time with God in fellowship, in the Word of God, and then bear some kind of fruit like the fruit of the Spirit or the fruit of the Word or fruit of righteousness or be used by Him in bearing the fruit of a soul coming to Christ when you're living in disobedience to the words of God is just a fallacy. You cannot bear fruit without obeying the words of God. And then it takes praying. We bear fruit through praying. John chapter 15, verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. You say, why is that nestled in this context here? Because praying is a big part of bearing fruit. Prayer is what keeps us in communion with the Lord so that He can bear His fruit in us. My dear friend and pastor Harley Keck said, I can get much more done through prayer than I can through action. If you go back and you read the old saints of God that were very fruitful in their ministries, they'll tell you, you got to spend a lot of time in prayer. Ian Bounds, Andrew Murray, many of the men like that, they spent lots of time in prayer. Why? Because that established that communion. It's like establishing the flow of that sap through the vine into the branches. That's what the Word of God does. That's what prayer does, so that fruit can be born in our branches. And then we bear fruit through loving. He says here in John chapter 15, verses 9 and 10, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. Love is like the sap that flows through the vine and the branches. The root picks up nutrients and moisture and delivers them through the vine into the branches and from the branches into the fruit. Paul showed us in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, in verses 1 through 3, that without charity, our work is absolutely worthless. We're motivated to do God's will as a result of God's love in us. That's what sent Jesus Christ to the cross. That's what brought him to the earth. The reason for our fruitlessness these days is not due to the fact that we're weak in our work. It's due to the fact that we're weak in our relationship to the vine. We need purging. God is trying to remove stuff that we don't want him to remove. We need to be cleaned by the Word, but we're spending so little time in the book. We need to abide constantly in the Lord, but we are so preoccupied with so many other things besides the Lord. We need to obey His words, but we prefer to do our own way. We need to spend much more time in earnest prayer, but we say we're too busy. And we need to love God and spend time in the love of God, but we have become lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Oh, my friend, we must drop to our knees and confess to the Lord where we have wronged Him in these things. We must submit to His purging and willingly let go of those things that are hindering His ability to bear fruit in our lives, if we will do that. Listen, our Father will be glorified in what He desires to accomplish in us in this vine. He will accomplish for His glory. May God help us to do so. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.